Today we're going to be looking at the parable of the shrewd manager, or in another title, the parable of the dishonest servant. We'll be reading from Luke, the 16th chapter, starting in verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and he asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." I hope this parable is shocking to you. Remember when I did a parable a few weeks ago, I told you that parables are meant to shock us. Parables are meant to make us kind of stand up and go, "Whoa, wait a minute. This doesn't sound right. Something's not right with this parable." You see, this parable is shocking because a dishonest person is praised. This parable is shocking because of a dishonest person is praised. Now, if that doesn't shock you, we would expect Jesus to say what instead? Oh, shame on this man, right? This man should not be this way. One, he should have been the right kind of manager to begin with. And he has now taken what was charged to him, and he has cheated his master even further. Now, some have said that all that this servant was doing was crossing off on the list. He was crossing off what was his commission for what was being done. Now, if that is true, that he was crossing off his commission and saying, "No, I'm just not going to collect my commission for this," then he wouldn't be called dishonest further down in the parable, would he? He is a dishonest man. He has cheated his master by not properly managing things to begin with. And then on top of that, when the manager comes to him and says, "I want you to give a report of what you've done. Bring your books out. Let's look at them. I want to see how you have managed my property, because I have heard from someone else that you've been cheating me." Well, this shrewd manager goes off and he says, "Well, I'm getting ready to lose my job. I am no longer going to have my job. And what shall I do now? Because you know what? I hate manual labor. I'm no good at digging ditches, he says. I don't like that, and I don't want to have to go and do that. And I'm too proud to sit and beg. So what will I do for my future? And he says, I know what I'll do. Let me call in the master's people who owe him stuff. And he calls them in, and as he comes in, he says, hey, by the way, how much do you owe my master for using his land? Or how much do you owe him in production? Because probably what was going on here was some sharecropping is most likely what was happening, is that people were managing and taking care of what the master owed, and then they were turning around and paying him a portion of that. And the first one comes in and says, I owe him 900 gallons of olive oil. That's not something you go to Walmart and pick up, is it? 900 gallons. And he says, I'll tell you what, sit down right now, take your bill and write it out and make it 450. Do you think the other guy's going to go, uh-uh, that's not right? The first thing he's going to do is, okay, sure, where do I sign? Now I only owe half. He was probably thinking when he got called in, what were they going to do? Oh, where is what you owe us? I'm calling it all due now. I want it due now. And instead, he's thinking through, this man is thinking through about the Olive Gardens and how things have happened and what has been going on. And he says, well, you know, it's been a bad year and hasn't been raining well and the crops aren't growing really good and we got some infestation in there and there was some mold that came in. And the guy says, no, take your bill and cut it in half. Can you imagine how excited that man was to leave? And he calls the second one in, and he's probably thinking the same things in his mind, that I got to do this, and I got to tell him why I don't have all this. And he says, how much do you owe? And he says, 1,000 bushels. Oh, write it out to 800. Do you see what this dishonest servant is doing? He is paving the way for his future. Who do you think is going to be willing to hire him? I'm kind of thinking the guy with the olive oil is going to hire him first, don't you think? But then if you really think about it, do you want this guy working for you? He's doing this because he's dishonest. He's been dishonest and he's getting ready to lose his job. Maybe they have no idea yet that he's lost his job. And they think he's still working for the master. And now the master comes in and finds out what he's done. Do you realize how bad it would be for the master if he stood up and said, oh no, collect up those bills that you've canceled part out? Because they didn't know this guy was still hired. They didn't know that he wasn't still the steward for this master. So the master has to save face and just live with it. And what he ends up doing is he ends up going to his servant and he tells his servant, you have been pretty shrewd. You have been pretty smart. Because you're taking care of your own future. You're taking care of what must be done so that you can live. It says in verse 8, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. He prepared for his future. What one of us would not prepare for our future? Now I'm hoping and I'm praying that you wouldn't prepare for your future in the same way that this dishonest manager has prepared for his. Not that I want you to owe me 900 gallons of olive oil. I love cooking with olive oil, but I don't know what to do with 900 gallons of it. There must be something more. There must be something more to this than saying we should be dishonest to get ahead in life. Because do you agree with me that you could read that parable this way, can't you? You could read this parable that, hey, whatever it takes to get ahead in life, however I need to do it, whatever I need to do, it's okay. The manager said, hey, look, you've been a smart person. You've been dishonest, but you've been smart. You prepared for your future. There must be something more to this parable. Would you agree? It just doesn't seem to match up with the rest of Scripture, especially passages where it says don't lie or cheat or steal one another. But here's the truth about our world. The people of this world will use their resources in both good and bad ways to get ahead in life. The people of this world will use their resources in both good and bad ways to get ahead in this life. Have you seen that happen around you? I've seen it happen many, many times. They are going to use their resources in any way that they can to get ahead. And the American way is what? It's all about me. What can I get out of life? What can I get? What's in it for me? What are those people going to do for me if I'm going to support them and help them? And I've met many people that would tell me something simple like this. Well, it was only a little white lie, but things worked out for the best. You see, the people of this world are very, very shrewd about how to get ahead in life. And what the point of the parable is are we using our resources to prepare people for the eternal realm? The parable begs us to consider this question. Are we using our resources to prepare people for the eternal realm? You see, this dishonest manager was using his resources, using his position, using his way, in order to prepare the way for his future. Not for his eternal future, but for his physical future as he lived here upon earth. And the people of this world are very shrewd about that, and they will do that again and again and again. But this parable is begging us, and it is asking us, are we willing to use our resources to prepare people for the eternal realm? Consider that and think about that for a moment. For you see, one of the things that we have to come to understand is we don't really own anything. We don't really own anything. It all belongs to God. Every bit belongs to God. You may label it with your name. You may call it your own and put it in a special place where other people can't get at it. You may do all kinds of things like that. You may put it away in a safety deposit box or a safe in your house. You may do whatever you want, but the truth is, God owns it all. And what this parable is begging us to consider is how are we using those things to prepare people for the eternal realm? Are we using them that way? Do we use them with an open hand? Do we use them in a way that we can give them to other folks if that's what they need? Do we use it in a way to further the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own community, in our state, in our nation, and around the world? Are we using our resources for that? Are we opening our hand with those resources and saying, God, use these resources that I have to touch people's hearts so that I can help prepare them for an eternal realm? Are we being just as shrewd? Now, the parable goes on to tell us so much more. Because the parable goes on to tell us that if you can be entrusted with a few little things, then you're going to be entrusted with greater and bigger things as time goes by. God is going to see what you are doing, and God is going to say, now I trust you with more. Now, let me kind of qualify that a little bit. Just because you got $100 and you use $100 well, it doesn't mean God's going to give you $1,000. Just because you got a few thousand dollars and you use that well, it doesn't mean that God's going to give you half a million. It doesn't work that way, folks. God can entrust us with all kinds of things. God can entrust us with all kinds of things. And what is the most valuable thing that God can entrust us with? People's lives. That is the most valuable thing that God can entrust to us. And sometimes God brings people across our path as we travel about our day that maybe we're supposed to share something with them. Maybe we're supposed to take our time and stop for a moment and share a little piece of scripture or a thought about Jesus Christ. Maybe we're supposed to share an uplifting thought with them. Maybe we're supposed to do something more. To sit with them and cry for a while as they just need someone for that. And as God watches us and says, I can entrust you with more and more, things get larger and different things come to us that God entrusts us with. God wants to entrust us with the very lives of the people in this community. God wants to entrust us with the very lives of the people in this community. But God wants to see that we can be faithful, that we can do what needs to be done with what little we've got right now. As I look around, there's plenty of places for people to come in and sit. Amen? But God wants to see that we will take care of them, that we will open our doors to them, and that we will reach into their lives and do what needs to be done. It may mean that we change our schedule some. Deanne and I have been trying to go to the gym at least 3 or 4 days a week. And now I've got to start to meet some people there as I go, because I'm going at the same time after work on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And I've got to meet some people, found another Christian brother there, spend some time talking with him as we get ready to go do our separate workouts. Got to talk to one of the people that works there. I'm sorry to say that you need to pray for him. He's a Tennessee fan. And there was one day, as I got a chance to talk with him and talk with him some more, I was like, you know, I got to get on with my workout because I want to get home and eat supper. I'm hungry. And then I said, you know what, Lord, that's what this is about. It's about taking a moment and talking with someone. Now, to my knowledge, he hasn't found out that I'm the pastor here yet. He just thinks I'm some guy that's out of shape and they're trying to get back in shape right now. That's all he knows about me. And that I graduated from Virginia Tech, so he's praying for me. But I look forward now when I go in there to stop for a moment and talk to him. Very likable guy, very open guy. I want to find out where he is spiritually. He's talked to me a little bit about how important church is, but not much. So what do we do and how do we reach out? Can God entrust us with the very lives of the people in this community? Can God entrust us with those lives? Will we take good care of them? Will we be shrewd about using our resources to help them further their lives in the eternal realm? Folks, that's what this parable is about. This parable is about, are we going to be able to do this? So how are we using our resources to prepare ourselves and others for the eternal realm of life? It's great and it's wonderful to share, to sock things away and put things away for retirement. to make sure that we can take care of ourselves and take care of our families. But I wonder how many of us are worried about how we will take care of the spiritual well-being of this community that we live in. How are we using our resources to do that? And God says that as we do that, God will entrust us with more and more and more. So I want you to be well aware of that, because I hear some people say, man, this is just too much. Got everything I can manage now. And God says, here's one more thing. And what God is telling you then, you are managing things well, and I want to entrust more to you. And I want to open the doors further to you. You are doing the things that need to be done. I appreciate the song that Victoria sang for us, Casting Crowns. We are the body. We are the body of Christ. I do want to let you know it was incredibly hard for me to sit back here and be still, because that song just excites me so much. I tried to get it out while she practiced this morning. I tried to get all the excitement out and all the movement out and everything that I had to do while she was singing, while she was practicing this morning. We are the body of Christ. Why are his arms not reaching out? Why are his hands not healing? Why are his words not teaching? Why are his feet not going? Folks, God has entrusted an awful lot to us already. And I just ask you to consider, how are we using the resources that we have to prepare ourselves and to prepare others for the eternal realm of life? Because it's coming. It's coming. And a lot of people are not prepared yet. How are we using our resources to do just that? Let us pray. Lord, you have entrusted us with so much. And sometimes we look at what we have and we try to decide how we best can use it for ourselves. Sometimes we hold on to it so tightly that we crush it. Sometimes, Lord, we're working with our resources, trying to figure out how to use them for our family and ourselves' best benefit. And sometimes, Lord, you may be asking us to open our hands, to let go of these things, and to use these resources to help someone come closer to Jesus Christ. Lord, many of us have already made that decision. And we know where our eternity will be. For all time, we will be with you in your presence and worshiping you and experiencing you and growing ever deeper in what it means to have a great and awesome God. Lord, help us to consider how we might be shrewd and use what we have to help other people step closer to Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray now. Amen.